there's gold in them thar hills. That echoed across the countryside when gold was discovered near Sacramento 100 years ago. In 1849, there was a discovery that was of major proportions. I remember in 1949, it was decided by our high school yearbook that we would commemorate this gold strike that had been 100 years earlier. I worked on the Beauvoir staff, which was the name of the yearbook. It was fun, probably a lot more fun than some of those people who came from all over the country seeking to claim some of the gold in those hills. Some few benefited, but most just had a rugged existence. It's much like God's calling when the call goes out from God, you know, often through the church, but unlike the call for gold, few respond. We've had our seminars, we have our television programs, we have magazines, we have booklets, we have all kinds of information, but very few respond. Only a few who are chosen by God get the benefit of the gold that God has to offer. And God has much gold to offer, and I don't mean physical gold, but he has much spiritual gold to offer all of us. Most still struggle in this world and are burdened down with the affairs of life. Most do not hear the loving care and concern of Christ. My wife said she was having a hard time hearing me. Is anyone else having trouble? You hear me now? Can you hear me now? Okay. You know, the first mention of gold is very early in the biblical record. In Genesis chapter 2, there's a mention of gold. Genesis chapter 2, verse 11. As God was explaining about the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil, he says in verse 11, the name of the first is Pison, this river, that it is which compasses the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold. Now, this is one of the rivers that went out of the Garden of Eden and parted into four different heads. That doesn't exist today. It shall exist again, but it doesn't exist today. But the name of one of those rivers was Pison. And the gold of that land is good, which means there must have been an abundance of gold. There's bdellium and the onyx stone. The river Pison originated in the Garden of Eden that flowed through the land of Havilah, the land to the east of the garden, and apparently watered that whole land. And it was one of four rivers that flowed out of the Garden of Eden. There must have been a fair abundance of gold in this area. And, you know, gold is mentioned numerous times in the Bible. Again, in Genesis chapter 13, verse 2, it's mentioned in relation to Abram that he was very rich in cattle and silver and gold. You know, gold is one of the softest metals and yet most malleable of metals, easiest to work with. Yet one of the most enduring, probably most of you have never mined for gold. You know, it's a very enduring metal. Have you ever panned for gold in a stream? Some of you may have. I don't know whether any of you have or not. I don't know how much gold you have stored in your closet at home. If you did, you should have sold it when it was $1,800. But no, I'm kidding. You know, a lot of people have purchased gold, but it is one of the most sought after items in the world. You know, its value recently, in recent months, hit over, I think it was over $1,800 an ounce. Now I think it's down to about $1,300. Yet I can remember also only about 40 years ago, the United States was on the gold standard, and the price was pegged at $35 an ounce. Being on the gold standard meant that we had sufficient gold in Fort Knox to back up all the printed paper in circulation as dollars. Now, whether this was true or not is subject to question, but at least that was supposed to be the case. Today it seems that many commercial facilities are buying gold, old gold, gold jewelry, and even the value of this gold jewelry is very expensive. But the standard of this world seems to be gold. If there's one standard, it seems to be gold. My gold consists of this one little ring here on my finger. My wife has a few more pieces. We know that it's God, though, who has created all the gold, and mankind just seeks for it for his own personal wealth or to display that wealth to others. But God has invested much more in you than gold. He's invested much more than you in you than gold. In fact, he has invested everything in you. All that God has to give, God has invested in you. He has nothing left to give. He has nothing left to give except the continued power supply of his Holy Spirit. He has nothing left to give. Now, that doesn't mean if we have need of things, he can supply those. But the greatest gift is God's Holy Spirit, and he has nothing else to give beyond that. We do not know exactly when God began to evaluate you and me as far as calling us. But once he called us, he planned to give us the most valuable item in this world, his Holy Spirit. For it is this ingredient that makes, or at least can make us, a very different person than we ever could even have hoped to be on our own. A very different person. It's intended to make us one with God, ultimately to be in the very image of Christ, to fulfill God's purpose for even creating human life. It's why Christ said so strongly, in Matthew chapter 12, verse 31, Christ made a very strong statement about his Holy Spirit. Matthew chapter 12, verse 31, he says, "Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto people." All manner of sin. Christ paid the penalty. "But the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit shall not be forgiven to anyone." Shall not be forgiven to anyone. "And whosoever speaks a word against the Son of Man," and how much was spoken against Christ when he was here in the flesh? There was much spoken against him. He was persecuted. He was abused. He was blasphemed. He was told he was not the Son of God. Who did he think he was? And on and on it goes. He was mistreated like no one has ever been mistreated. "And whosoever speaks a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him." It shall be forgiven. Those words that were spoken against him, that the religious leaders, the Jewish leaders, spoke against him and anyone else will be forgiven. "But whosoever speaks against the Holy Spirit, it shall not be forgiven him or her, neither in this world, neither in the world to come." So it will never be forgiven if someone misuses, abuses, blasphemes the Holy Spirit. Now, why will God forgive everything, even that which is spoken against Christ, but will forgive nothing spoken against the Holy Spirit? Because what can God give us, even his forgiveness, that will counter the blaspheming of his Holy Spirit? You know, the real rejection of God's Holy Spirit, if God gives it, because it's from God, and it's for us, it's for those whom he has called, it is for those to enable us to change and grow and develop and overcome. It's the most powerful ingredient in this whole world, because the Holy Spirit is the very mind of Christ and of God that allows us to change, that allows us to grow and develop and becoming like Christ. It is the power we have to resist the power of the God of this world, as was spoken in the sermonette. That's the power we have to resist the God of this world. And if we do not have the power of God to live this life, we would still be in the power of Satan. That's the reality of it. We would still be in the power of Satan without the Spirit of God to guide us and to enable us to resist that power. That's the reality. That's the truth about the Holy Spirit. Because Satan is more powerful than we are. But armed with the power of God, we are stronger than Satan. Armed with the power of God, we are stronger than Satan. In 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. First John chapter 4, a well-known scripture. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. As the Apostle John is inspired to write, "You are of God, little children, and have overcome them," speaking of the false prophets, "because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." The power that God has given us is greater than the power in the world. Otherwise, we'd just still be in the power of Satan. That's the reality of it. When Christ was in the flesh in this world, he literally had the trial of his life when he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by Satan. And we have to make no mistake about this. Christ could have sinned. Christ could sin. Now, he chose not to sin by the power of God's Spirit. And he fasted and he prayed for 40 days and 40 nights. But it was a literal and severe trial of his life and his faith in God. You know, whether or not he would obey the word of God or weaken and obey Satan. And when he had fasted those 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And Satan tried and tested him to turn the stones into bread. Christ's response was, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Not to live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Maybe we ought to turn to Matthew 4 and read that very briefly, because this is paramount. This is certainly paramount in our lives, and it's paramount about what I'm talking about today. The gold that God gives to us is so profound. The truth that God gives to us, the treasures that God gives to us. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, as he responded to Satan, he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Now, how difficult is this? I think we've all experienced this trial and test as to how difficult it is. It is why we still have to repent from time to time because of sin. But Christ could not sin if he were to going to pay the penalty for the sins of every human being, all sins, whatever they were, even the blasphemy against the Son, but not the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. He had to be sinless. He had to be without sin. He would not have been acceptable to God when he presented himself before God in heaven. He presented himself to God in heaven after he died and was God resurrected him. For he was both the sacrifice for the sins of every human being, as well as being the high priest presenting the sacrifice to God, the acceptable sacrifice. Now, if we were to be led by the Spirit and follow Christ, then we also have to learn to live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That's a large task, isn't it? That's an enormous task. Not an easy assignment. And it's why we must mine the spiritual gold. It's why we must mine the spiritual gold from the Word of God. You know, today there are many treasures in the Word of God, many treasures. Have we yet mined all of them? I don't think I have. Have we yet mined all of them? We have to become virtually a mining engineer, a spiritual mining engineer, with the Spirit of God to gather every fragment of spiritual gold. But this isn't even sufficient if we knew it all, is it? Even if we gathered every fragment of gold from God's Word, we still have to live by it, don't we? We still have to live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. You know, when physical gold is discovered, it's taken to an assayer to be assayed to determine the value of the ore. And we too have to assay the value of our finds in the Word of God. They have to be important to us. And we have to see the value of them. They have to be very important to us. We see the value of those, of the words of God that we're to live by. And to know that whatever we find in God's Word is profitable for righteousness, and to live by every word. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16. Well, beginning in verse 15. It says, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Because we're all to be members of God's family. But we pray that he would grant you, according to the riches of his mercy, his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner person, the spiritual person, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that Christ may dwell in our hearts by faith. And we have to know how to, we don't know how to do that of ourselves, but it comes from God's Spirit. It comes from the Word of God, from the understanding that God gives us in his word, that we being rooted and grounded in love, we're to be rooted and grounded in love, and may be able to comprehend with all the saints, all those whom God has called, what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Because that's what God wants us to be, isn't it? Filled with all the fullness of God through his Holy Spirit. But the digging for gold, the discernment of gold, and the value of that gold, and the assaying the value comes by God's Spirit, doesn't it? And to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, people don't understand that without the Spirit of God. That you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly, above all that we ask or can even think to ask for, according to the power that works in us through God's Holy Spirit. That's the power. That's why there's nothing else that God can give us that would be greater than the Spirit of God. There's nothing greater than the Spirit of God that God could give us. And rooted and grounded, you know, it's what the Word of God does, doesn't it? The Word of God roots and grounds us just like a tree. As Christ said to the disciples in Matthew 13, you know, it's given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, as many as there are. And we have to assay each of our finds and incorporate all of them in our lives. Now this is, I realize, very simplistic terms. This is in very simplistic terms, but the fulfillment is not simplistic, is it? The fulfillment of God's word is not simplistic. We have to fight ourselves. We have to fight to resist the power of this world and the things that would influence us. We all have to put out thoughts that come to mind. And we all, as you know, we've all found this out, but it's important as we find these precious stones or pearls of truth that we seek to adapt these truths in our lives. We put them into effect in our lives. There are many discoveries of mysteries in the kingdom of God. In Matthew chapter 13, further in that chapter, Matthew chapter 13, verse 44, says again, Christ says again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to treasure hid in a field. Treasure that's hid in a field. And which if a man has found, if a person's found, he puts it back where he found it probably, and for joy thereof goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Because that's what we have to do with a spiritual goal that we find, isn't it? It has to be most important in our lives, and we have to be willing to give up all. You know, giving up, you know, what I think or what I want or my opinions or anything else is not an easy task. But that's what we have to do. Or if we have offenses, we have to give them up. Offenses don't produce a good relationship between us and God. In fact, they take away from it. In verse 45, again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. That's what Christ is telling us to do with the hidden treasures that we find. The golden treasures of the Word of God, that we're willing to give up whatever it is that would be contrary to them and seek to do that, to live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Now, Christ made it very abundantly clear that we're not only to search for truth, but must fully comprehend the value of it when we find it, and the application to our lives, and then with God's Spirit to live by every word. You know, we can read and reread Scripture, and each time that we read it, we discover more precious truth. We discover something additional there that we had never seen. we discover more precious truth in the very same scriptures. It's because God is continually opening up the abundant treasures of his word to us. You know, our part is to search, isn't it? Our part is to search for that gold, pearls, or hidden treasure. And it's God's part to open our minds to understand and to seek to fulfill it by God's Spirit. As the Apostle Peter was inspired to write in his first epistle, there's some nuggets of spiritual gold that we always have to keep uppermost in mind. Truths that we must never let go of. Regardless of the pulls in the opposite direction, regardless of the influences in this world, and perhaps the bad influence of other people, if that's the case. But for the most part, most of the world does not yet value the truth for its real value. There's a story of an elderly woman in Scotland. She was very poor and lived in abject poverty. Many years before, her only child, a son, had left to make his fortune in America. He had never returned to Scotland. One day, a friend of hers inquired, "Does your son ever help you?" Knowing how she lived and hand to mouth and day to day and not having much, she lived in such poverty. And reluctantly, the mother admitted, "No, but he sends nice long letters and wonderful pictures." And the friend wanted to speak harshly of the son, but he held back and simply asked, "May I see the pictures?" And the woman took them out of a drawer, and to the friend's amazement, they were all large banknotes. He had sent her all kinds of money. She didn't recognize it as money. She had never seen money like that before. She just considered them pictures. The woman had not known that they were anything but interesting pictures, not realizing the value of each one of the banknotes. It seems that much of the world regards God's word and his truth in the same fashion. But God reminds us in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. The Apostle Peter writes to the scattered brethren, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ," 1 Peter 1, verse 3, "who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively hope, an active hope, a worthwhile hope, a future unparalleled by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead," because it took both the death and resurrection for us to have any future, "to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fades not away, and it's reserved in heaven for you." You don't go to heaven for it, but it's reserved in heaven for you, and Christ shall bring it when he returns. "Who are now kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in this last time. Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season. If need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations and trials and problems that exist. But that the trial of your faith, where you're trying to live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, being much more precious than of gold that perishes," because all physical gold will perish ultimately, "though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, and whom though you see him not, yet believing, and you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Verse 9, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your lives. Because it's through trusting in God that we are delivered by God's power to the conclusion of our lives. Salvation. Salvation. And there's much more to it beyond that. But salvation. The truth is extracted from the voluminous words of the Bible. These are some of the words. And this is 24-karat gold. This is 24-karat spiritual gold. You know, how precious is this? And no one can take this away. No one can take that gold away. No one can steal it or deny you its deliverance. And certainly God will only confirm his promise to see us all through to salvation. You know, physical gold is subject to theft, isn't it? Happens all the time. It's subject to loss. Can be loss of value or can be literally lost. I know when I graduated from high school, I had gone over to where my sister and her husband lived, and we went in this lake, and I had just gotten my high school graduation ring. Unknowing to me, it came off while we were in the water because, you know, your fingers shrink, and I lost it. It's interesting. My brother now lives on that same lake, and I told him, look for my ring. He said, well, you know, it's not unreasonable, because he had a friend that, if you'll remember, when the Mississippi River was really high, He had flung a rock into the Mississippi River and his ring came off. It was a college ring. And then when the river got so low last year, he said, of all things, somebody found that ring and returned it to him. Pretty amazing. But spiritual gold is trustworthy, you know, and we can wear it right into the kingdom. It's gold that we can wear right into the kingdom. In Romans chapter 8, we find familiar gold treasure. Now, there are those who would count this as fool's gold, but it's gold treasure that fades not away. This truth never grows old, nor is it tarnished. Spiritual gold is never tarnished by anything or anyone. In Romans chapter 8, Romans chapter 8, verse 29, well-known spiritual gold. Romans chapter 8, verse 29. For whom he did foreknow, he did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. That's you, that's me. That we might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified by the sacrifice of Christ. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. It's as if it's already done. Them he also glorified. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Because he that spared not his own Son, but delivered him, he delivered him up for us all. How shall he then not with him also freely give us all things? God will freely give us all things. And who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Because it's God that justifies. They're going to challenge God. Who is he that condemns? Is it not Christ that died? Yes, rather, that is risen again. Who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us? How could it be more perfect than that? I'm not saying we're perfect because of it, or that everything is perfect in our lives because of it. But there couldn't be anything more perfect than that, because God has us on a schedule that he's going to fulfill. And who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Because as it is written, for your sake we are killed all the day long. Verse 37. Though in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nothing, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creation shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We know that we can bank on this goal. We can put it in a safety deposit box in a spiritual vault. No one, not anyone, can take it away. No man or any person can diminish it or take it away from us. And its price or value does not fluctuate. It's always valueless. I'm sorry, so valuable. It's so valuable to us. It remains at its premium price. It remains at its premium price through every situation, through economic times, whatever they are, or whatever distress comes into our lives. It maintains its premium price and its premium value. Now, sometimes we may think that God does not hear our prayers, when in fact God knows everything about you, everything about you and me. He knows your thoughts, and he knows the problems that you have, the struggles that you have, what you struggle with, the anxieties, fears, worries that come our way. But he hears your prayers and always looking down and looking out for your welfare in every circumstance. You heard part of that in the sermonette. And he provides for us whatever we really need. I realize that all this is basic truth. It's truth 101. That's true. It's very basic. But these are the basics that we have to rely on day after day after day after day to bring us to the fulfillment that God wants, so that we can live by every word. These truths also have the greatest value, not on the open market in this world, but to each of us as we implement them in our lives and are seeking the kingdom of God. You know, in the realm of gold mining, man is always exploring and looking for new discoveries. In our quest to live by every word of God, we have to do the same. Always looking for new discoveries for spiritual growth and development. Because we probably still have undiscovered gold in the treasures of God and the treasures of the Bible. You know, how often have we gone to God and asked for wisdom? How often do you go to God and ask for wisdom? How often do I? Perhaps you have often, or maybe you have not. In Proverbs chapter 2, Proverbs chapter 2, verse 1. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 1. It says, my son, if you will receive my words and hide my commandments with you, so that you incline your ear unto wisdom. Incline your ear unto wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Yes, if you cry, you know, if you hunger and thirst after righteousness, if you cry after knowledge and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her, speaking of wisdom, as silver and gold, and search for her as the hidden treasures, Then you shall understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God, the precious knowledge, the precious goal of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, and out of his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. That's what God gives. He lays up sound wisdom for the righteous. God wants us to ask him for that wisdom. For he is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keeps the paths of judgment and preserves the way of his saints. Then shall you understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yes, every good path. You know, if we search for wisdom as we would for silver or gold or hidden treasures with the same intensity. Now, humanly, it seems that mankind would go to any length to obtain silver or gold or hidden treasures. But there's been more than a few abuses and death when people seek after those things, and they become conflicts in this world. You know, searching for wisdom provides so many benefits. It provides knowledge and understanding. Wisdom keeps the paths of judgment and justice, and it preserves the way in which we live. With wisdom, we understand righteousness and equitable behavior, right behavior. Our relationship with God grows, and our relationship with one another grows, and there's nothing to separate us. As the Apostle James addresses the subject of wisdom, for God gives wisdom generously and without reproach. In James chapter 1, God is calling. James chapter 1, verse 5. Says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask. Let us ask of God, who gives to us liberally, generously, and he doesn't reproach us. He doesn't take us to task for asking, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith. Let us ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavers is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. You know, there are probably many other gold nuggets that we could explore, many pearls and hidden treasures that we could explore, that we have not yet taken advantage of. We just have to do the necessary spiritual mining that is required. To unearth them out of the abundance of material that God has provided for us, it becomes fun and exciting what we discover. One final gold nugget that you may have already tried many times. In Matthew chapter 11. I'm going to take and read this in the Jewish New Testament, verse 27. Matthew chapter 11, verse 27. It says, my Father has handed over everything to me, as Christ says. Indeed, no one fully knows the Son except the Father, and no one fully knows the Father except the Son, and to those whom the Son wishes to reveal him. Those who Christ reveals, then we know the Father, and we also know the Son. So he says, come to me, all of you who are struggling and burdened. Come to me, and I will give you rest. Verse 29, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, because I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your lives. Verse 30, for my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. and to know that all this treasure that's contained in mortal vessels, earthen vessels, that are not permanent. You know, this body isn't permanent. But God is reshaping and remolding us spiritually in the very image of Christ to make us permanent, to give us immortal life for all eternity. But now we are still mortal, but Christ's precious Spirit is working powerfully in each of us. Finally, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. It says, but we have this treasure, this wonderful treasure, this spiritual gold in earthen vessels. We're a mortal vessel. You know, a pot can be broken, and God is reshaping and remolding us. But that the excellency of the power that is in us may be of God and not of us. That it may be of God, and we recognize that it's of God and not of us. Because all the glory of God's Word and the impact it has in our lives gives glory to God. But what an incredible way for you and me to express ourselves to give God's glory. And as we seek the hidden treasures and the mysteries of the kingdom of God.